Hey there, everybody. Welcome to another edition of Inside Lion Athletics. We've made it all the way to the end of the year, just about. Christmas holidays and the new year are about to get upon us, but we played basketball then too. Our last Inside Lion Athletics starts with Jim Curry, Athletic Director of LionU. Hey, how you doing, Coach? It'll be good to do one of these in person again.
We're coming and going, right? Ships in the night here, left and right, with all the travel we got going. But no, last one of the year, and probably a good way to go into it from the standpoint of Monday being 2-0 and in hoops, both a win for men's and women's hoops on Monday. Started the day off with the kids early in the day, and then getting it there at night for the men. But not a bad way to go into the break for the ladies, and then the men have got one more, obviously, this weekend. If they could get that one, they'd be really going into the break
I'm telling you. Hey, they might be snoozing. Those guys might be across the parking lot at the stadium earlier.
They'll be spending too much time at the playoff game the day before, and then
Yeah.
watching volleyball Final Four action from
Get
Thursday.
all wiped out from all their yell practice and all that fun stuff.
Yeah, whatever it might be, but
Yeah.
Before we get too deep into it, Charlie, though, probably be remiss if we didn't acknowledge and just think about a great Lion that we lost this past week. Blake Cooper passed, and you talk about a guy, just in the time that I've been here, but anybody that's been associated with this program for a long time knows how much he's meant to this place and how much passion and love that he's got for it. Yeah, we're gonna miss Blake in a lot of ways. Yeah, just thinking about him and the family. Last time I got to see him, he was back for a reunion at football game, and then he was really taking a lead role in trying to really breathe some new life into the Sykes Award and bringing that group back together and that special fraternity of guys. And so again, we'd probably be remiss if we didn't start off the day by just letting Blake's family know we're thinking about them, and just acknowledging what a great man and a great Lion he was.
Absolutely. And gosh, if there's anybody that loved football, it was Blake Cooper. You know, his when he in his early coaching days when he was at Winsboro. It turned out that he visited Jefferson for a ball game one night, and it was just in 94 we had some tremendous downpours on Fridays, and that was one of them. And he always remembered that game because when they came out, the kids were doing carrier landings on the sideline in the water trough that was they were standing in. But
Oh,
God, and then, doing the state track meet, he was always involved in sports, just found a way to stay at it, even as a superintendent and beyond.
No doubt. And you mentioned football, but yeah, his love of track and field as well was on full display. That was probably actually my first interaction with him. My first week on the job, we were hosting the conference track and field championships here in Commerce, and Blake was running it, man. He had it down to a T, and he did an excellent job, and it was good just to spend some time with him just at that during that meet. Just again, fresh on the ground, trying to get my bearings, and Blake was a great ear to bend, and gave great words of wisdom that still resonate today, and certainly will be on. So again, we'll miss him, and we're thinking about him. Both Tammy, he got to see Matt, his son-in-law. His team got inducted into the Hall of Fame this past year, the track and field team. And so I know that that was a particular point of pride for him as well that resonated with him. So again, we'll miss him for sure.
All right. Jim, at the end of the year, like it is, it's really just the end of the calendar year, of course, because we're smack dab in the middle of it. We finally got a little bit out of crossover season to the extent that football is not jamming up Saturdays again. Can't wait for it to start all over though. And
We'll give it another month and it'll overlap again, because I don't want to skip too far ahead, because the staff may beat me up here before the holidays. But we'll get to February, and that first weekend in February, it's bunch of home basketball those Saturdays in February, doubleheader, but then also softball starting up, multiple tournaments that we host. But before we get there, obviously, lots of basketball in between, and honestly, lots of recruiting going on too.
Sure.
It's been an active traffic way here of recruits on campus, all in a good way, for multiple sports. So excited to have all these new lines coming on board. So again, we get done with the fall, but man, the amount we'll have probably close to 15 to 20 new student athletes coming on board in January alone. So just the preparation that goes with that alone. I mean, there may be a break in the university operations per se, but athletics department operations are cranking to include toasting two double headers in men's and women's basketball on the 29th and 31st. So we're cranking, baby.
Yeah, you almost had the rest of the year off. Hey.
I think this is going to be like the best week of the whole fall in terms of events. We've just got one left this week, so we'll see.
So, what's it like on campus for the department and the coaches when you have recruits on campus? What goes into that?
Yeah. So, you know, it depends on time of year. You know, right now it's really quiet on campus, as you can imagine. Students are gone. Graduation was this past weekend. We had 18 student athletes graduate this past weekend, 11 undergrads, 7 masters. You're trying to make sure you can try to get a little bit of the feel of campus life when it's a little bit quieter. This time of year too, you're probably dealing with a lot of transfers. And transfers are a little bit, I would say, more seasoned in the recruiting space. They know a little bit more specifically about what they're looking for. They've kind of probably gone through the whining and the dining process coming out of high school or out the gate. So like they've kind of been through it, and they're probably a little bit just more savvier in terms of, okay, what are the important things that they're looking for as they pick their next spot? Is it scheme? Is it playing time? Is it academics? Is it scholarship? Is it whatever it might be, right? So that actually, I think, sometimes helps because you kind of cut through a little bit of the fluff sometimes. And you still want them to have a great experience, of course. There's no doubt about that. But you can kind of get kind of right into the meat of it and determine, okay, is this the right fit for both sides of this when you're working with some of these transfers that have been through the process and been somewhere before?
Okay, very good. Is it just the coaching staffs? Does your staff be, are y'all involved
It's
in
everybody. Yeah,
getting
it's us.
around and
Yeah, it's coaching staff. It's athletics department staff. It's faculty. So sometimes it's getting some senior level university leadership involved, president, provost, you name it. I mean, so just depends on the type of student, maybe what they're looking for in terms of their experience, those types of things. So we try to tailor it, obviously, to the individual student and what they're looking for, but it's everybody's involved. And that's kind of the hard part too, is that you're particularly with portal dates now, and again, university operations, winter break, understandably trying to, let some people have a little bit of time with family around this time. But I mean, heck, the quiet period in football, which is when you can actually have people come on campus, it actually starts on December 31st,
Oh,
right?
wow.
So I mean, it and then the portal for football opens on the 2nd. Campus opens back up on the 5th, first day of classes in spring on the 12th. So you don't have a lot of room in there to get some things done. So it's got the communication, not just within the department, but also across campus, and the partnership is really critical. So like when the president talks about going D1 in more than just athletics, like part of that extends into, this time period for university operations. And thankfully, we've got great people across campus, particularly in admissions and registrar and financial aid, who are here to support us in that regard. Housing, can't leave them out. I mean, there's people across the board that are here to support us. And so We're grateful for that support because frankly, we couldn't make it happen without him.
Sure. Okay. Well, very good. The academic side of it, it kind of blends into, is it the Commissioner's Cup, I think, that is, who's the best in the conference from academics plus athletics?
Yeah, Commissioner's Cup is an athletics metric for the
Okay.
league. There are separate awards relative to academics that have a that are similarly positioned within the league. But the athletic side of it, though, Commissioner's Cup, actually, we just got the most recent update to the standings there coming out of the fall. We're in a higher position than where we finished last year. Which is a
Okay.
good thing, of course, and we're right on the heels, honestly, of even being another spot up. So again, I think it's just really a testament to what we've been doing overall, both comparatively to last year and then relative to our peers coming out of the fall. So I think that hopefully portends well for us at the end of it because last year we had our best finish in the Commissioner's Cup for the 3 years that we've been in the Southland Conference, and then basketball is off to a much better start than they were last year. Let's just call it, right?
Hey,
We've
guys got 6 wins. I only had five.
got five all last year, right?
Like,
Exactly. They're up
boom.
six, yeah. And they're up 106 spots in the net compared to where they finished last year.
Yes.
I mean, that puts them like 32nd best in the country in terms of like improved net vis-a-vis last year. So, I mean, that's a huge thing, of course. Track, obviously, we've got, we obviously they'll perform well. We know what they do. So, we've got a good foundation laid as we kind of head into the winter sports here. So I'm excited to kind of see where that lands. They've kind of changed some of the way that they've calculated it too. So, now instead of us, not getting credit for sponsoring as many sports as other schools, you only score your best 14. Well, we only have 14,
Right.
so that will limit where others can kind of stack up points in sports that we don't otherwise sponsor. So hopefully it's a little bit of a better comparative as we go throughout the year. But again, excited about where we are at the end of the fall in that regard, and certainly how we've started the winter with both basketball and then track coming online.
All right. So football's not the only sport that is wrapped up for the competitive season. Soccer got into the tournament again, and volleyball hosted the tournament. And it's no places but up from what we hear about some of the recruits, especially. I mean, we're not worried about soccer at all. Volleyball, we weren't really worried about. And then we get really happy when we hear that there are girls coming in taller than you and me both.
Yeah, exactly right, for sure. That I think that's something that there's probably a way to quantify this, but it would take a little bit of work. But just in terms of retention, I think everybody obviously hears about portal, right? And everything that goes into that, and that's understandable. But when we look at our retention rates, both in previous years and then kind of looking out, I mean, I think I'd shared in a pre, when we were kind of breaking down our data from last year academically, a total of 30 scholarship student athletes that went into the portal throughout the entire year from last year. I mean, you have schools in the league that literally that number's like closer to 100. And
Wow.
so, I mean, we're much lower than our peers. And, I think that says a lot about the student athlete experience here. And what our student athletes are getting, both academically, athletically, the team within the department, our coaching staffs, the entire experience, obviously, to have retention levels that high. I mean, you always get a little bit concerned as you kind of get to the end of the year, and what do we keep? I mean, we're only going to see a couple student athletes enter the portal in volleyball and soccer. So that again, it speaks volumes about what Ashley and Joe are doing. We'll retain I think where we need to in a couple spots in football. We'll have some that will certainly get in that we expect that. But I don't think anything overly surprising in that regard, which is a good thing. You always get scared when you get to that time of year about what when that thing opens up. But again, I think it says a lot about the experience that our kids are having. And then you mentioned just what we're doing on the recruiting side. I know Ashley's got some really quality transfers that she's already got signed and locked in for the spring. Joe's got some quality signees out of high school, but then also some transfers coming in. And you mentioned the height, like there's no doubt of being there. He's been watering those plants over there, and he continues to water them as well. So they continue to grow in the ways that we need to, both in terms of talent and skill, but also just size.
And they can get everything off the top shelf for us. We don't
That's
even
exactly right.
need
Guys, you're in my height. Our arch nemesis is
it.
the top of the refrigerator, or that cabinet that's right above the fridge. That, like, who uses that? Maybe all the guys on the basketball team and the volleyball team. I don't know. But
All right. Hey, speaking of stuff that's coming up in what's left of the year, what a way to go out with two back-to-back double dips of basketball on the 29th and 31st.
yeah, no question. Great way to go into the break for the women off of a win on Education Day. We're now 5-0 in education games in on the
Yes.
year. So across all sports, home or away, we got it,
That's
right?
right.
Including volleyball, which had a road win on Education Day down at Corpus earlier in the year. So men, you'll get with Jarrett later, but they've got A&M this weekend. But again, coming off a really good road conference win. I mean, we've talked about the quality of the play in the league right now. It's never been better. Conference rankings never been higher. Just straight up bar fights every night in conference play. And you're going to see it on the women's side too. It's really, really impressive what's happening in the Southland. But 29th and 31st, SFA and Lamar. I mean, they don't get any bigger than that in terms of home slate. I wish they weren't during the holiday break, but maybe we can create a little bit of a home court advantage there for us. It's kids free. So if you're looking to get the kids out of the house,
Oh
get
man.
rid of some energy, you bring them to the field house and just let them run around and go crazy, right? So
Y'all
we
gonna
got
have
an
the
opportunity.
blow up stuff out there for the kiddos?
Yeah, they've
Do
got
any of that?
jelly ball. I guess this is some type of new kid Nerf game, inflatables. I don't know.
Okay.
Things that back in the day, we'd probably run around in the yard and probably get ourselves in trouble doing. But
Oh, we
you
had
can run.
lawn
You
darts,
could.
man.
Yeah. Well, it's not lawn darts, but we're not throwing any javelins in the air in the
Thank
field,
goodness.
right?
They're
But
hard on the court.
yeah, so a little bit of like some wonky times because of the double header on those dates. So like the women will tip at 4 on Monday, and then the men at 6:30, and then on the 31st, which is New Year's Eve, we're going early for a lot of reasons. But I think some obvious ones there: the men will tip first at 11 o'clock, and then the women will follow at 2:30. So again, a great opportunity if you need to get the kids out and just expend some energy, just throw them in the field house and tell them to run around and make a ton of noise, and we'll take care of the entertainment if they can take care of the volume level, which we want up all the way up.
Kids can do that.
Yep.
Well,
Totally.
Jim, what about your own holiday plans? Everybody
Ooh.
gets a little, it's either a bigger window or a little one, but
Yeah.
relatively small ones around our place.
Yeah, we talked about just, having games during the break, and I think this is where sometimes the staff, maybe doesn't get enough credit for the work that goes in behind the scenes when people aren't watching. I always kind of share this story. Like my kid's first Christmas was in a hotel, on a road game, on a bowl game. That happens a lot. There's a lot of people that work in athletics who celebrate Thanksgiving in a restaurant or a hotel because they're on the road. And I think there's probably some examples of that that will occur this year for us, where staff will try to get that time in, but we're right back in the field house for home games 29-31. And so whereas the university will be relatively quiet, generally speaking, the staff will be grinding away, hosting 4 home games in 3 days during the holiday period. So again, just a credit to them. That will obviously truncate some of the travel that I've got. I got to try to get the kids up to both sets of grandparents and then get back myself for hoops. So that's what it will look like. It'll be a lot of airports. Hopefully the weather's good, but again, I think it's really just a testament to the staff, our coaches, just being able to do the work that's needed to be in a position to host games and then be in a position to win, particularly during the break.
All right. Well, Jim, Merry Christmas to you and yours,
Likewise. Merry
and
Christmas to
travel in
everybody.
mercies, even
And
as
we'll do
those
that.
back and forth to the airport.
There it is. And I guess we'll do it all over again in 2026, huh?
Yeah, and we won't wait long. We'll be
It'll
right
be here
after.
before we know it for sure.
All right, my friend.
All
Well,
right.
weekend's up here. We'll get Jim out and get some others in and
Yep.
keep going on our final Inside Lion Athletics of the year. Don't go away. Hey, everybody, welcome back. Some more Inside Lion Athletics. Charlie Chitwood here with you, our weekly. We had Jim Curry to start. Now we're going to move into basketball, and we start getting the players involved. Let's go ahead and introduce to you Ronnie Harrison, number zero, only on his jersey. He was filling it up on Monday night, though. Pretty fun time down in Hammond. What a game!
Very fun game. I'm glad we got the win. I'm glad it came down to the wire. It tested us a lot, so glad we came out with the win.
That was a back and forth battle. There weren't a ton of lead changes, but there were runs at each other that kept that thing close. Talk about just about the pace of the game and how y'all felt going into it, because you had one on Saturday or Friday down in Lake Charles, didn't go quite the same way.
Yeah, basketball is just a game of runs. I mean, we're always together on the court, and whenever we go play on the road, it's very hard to win. So, but being together is going to be very important.
All right, set up that last play. You had that nice little 8-foot jumper that just went through. I mean, it was set up that way, or was it just in the scheme of the play? That's where the ball stopped for the shot.
Nah, it wasn't set up the way. The ball just happened to find me, and I work on mid-ranges every day, so I was ready to shoot.
All right, good deal. How about the battle between the difference up front between Southeastern and against McNeese?
Yeah, McNeese has some really, really good guys that was very talented and stuff like that. They're good as a team. Things like that, and things just wasn't going our way that night. But Southeastern, we just came with a whole different mindset, and it showed a
Yep.
lot.
Worked out well. That was a great game to be the visitor, huh? They didn't have very many folks in there watching that one. There's a lot of people that missed a great game. Hey, Ronnie, a Forney guy, tell us a little bit about how you bounced closer to home. You started out at Tarleton, right? And then, or
I
tell
was
us your path. Tell
at
us your path.
JUCO first. I went JUCO out of high school at Navarro College in Corsicana. And then from there, I was at Tarleton for half a year. I had some unforeseen issues happen. But I'm back on my path now, having faith in Jesus. I'm here.
Being closer to home, it's got to be nice, even if everybody's, they can't come see every game, but, those weekend games are counting too.
Yeah, it's very nice being close to home. I'm only an hour away, and if I ever need to go home real quick, I can just go real fast. Yeah.
Do you go back and visit Jackrabbit High?
Yes, I was actually just at a game about a week and a half ago. Yeah, they got the win too, so that's good.
Very good. Very good. Tell us what the difference for you has been. What's making this just kind of work out better for you?
The coach is having a lot of trust in me, and me already knowing what I was getting myself into when I was coming here, and I just bought into what the coaches have been saying, and me having a good set of teammates around me is helping a lot too, and the season's just going very well.
Okay. And then if you got any purple you need to talk about, or at least Coach Billy, you've always got Trey Conrad to talk to, because
Yeah.
y'all have that shared experience, just different schools.
The same experience.
Okay. All right, man. So what's Christmas going to be like? We've got, we still have a basketball game Sunday, but then you got a little bit of a break before the two conference games at home.
Yeah, I'll be at home. I mean, I just be around with all my family, try to go make it out to Louisiana to see my dad, but Christmas is gonna be at home.
Where in Louisiana is he?
Oh, he's in Shreveport.
Oh, okay. So he, if you forget anything, just get it to me and I can like meet him in Wascom or something
Yeah.
and get all the connections made. He's got some good food over there to go visit too. That's
Very good food.
what food's all about. So where's your favorite food stop so far?
Down here, like traveling?
Like traveling.
That one place we went to, we was in Hawaii. Is that where we was in Hawaii? It's called Yard House. I think it's called Yard
Okay.
House. I really think it's called Yard House. Yes.
Okay. What'd they have?
I got the wings. The wings was top tier.
Good deal. All right. So, what else you want to say about being a lion now?
Man, it's a small town, but I love it over here. I love the fans, players, coaches, staff. I love everything about it over here.
All right.
I just get to
Well,
see this season.
it's good to be part of that community. We're glad to have you part of it, sir.
Yes, sir.
All right. Ronnie, Lions up. Great game Monday. Nice finish to it, of course, for you because you put in the bucket.
Yes,
We'll see
sir.
you for the next one and start another one. See you down at College Station on Saturday.
Yes, sir. Thank you.
All right. Hey, welcome back. Some more Inside Lion Athletics. We have a short visit with Ronnie Harrison. Now we got his boss. Here's Jarrett Von Rosenberg, head coach of the Lion Men. Coach, what a great game that was Monday night down in Hammond. Your guys in a nail biter came up with just enough more and got
Yeah,
the
well,
job.
it was a great game. I give our guys a lot of credit. Very poor performance on Friday night, and we know how hard, and we try to keep telling them how hard it's going to be to win on the road in this league. And for them to, turn the page, because you have to turn the page and you have to get the next opponent. But to come out and compete, and we went down early. Not because I think we were playing okay. Didn't make some shots early, and they did. But then we played for 40 minutes, and that's what's going to take every night in this league.
You got some good deep shooting there, especially in the second half. Damian and Vinny both. Vinny made that play right before halftime that he took the ball, got over the timeline, and then launched and was fouled on that three-pointer. Made all three of his free throws. Was that some momentum that not only carried into the locker room, but right back out of it?
Well, I think for him, anytime a shooter sees the ball go through the net, that always helps. That can't hurt you. And for us to kind of have a broken play right there, and then to make the mistake to foul, those are just we again we expect all these games to be tight. So any play you can make like that is going to help. And we're shooting the ball really well. We got it. We're still not running offense well. Because we're not creating enough of those shots throughout the course of a game. When we get clean looks, we're shooting a very high percentage, and we got to continue to work to get those shots more frequently. And then we don't have to rely on shooting at such a high percentage. Right now, we're shooting such high percentage, but we took seven less shots than our opponent. They did a great job of taking care of the basketball, and we had 12 turnovers, which you can win with 12, but when your opponent turns it over seven, that puts a lot of pressure on you.
Had to be, I mean, for the guys to see it improve from one game to the next the way it did, it really goes to your point that you got to have a short memory in this sport sometimes.
Yeah, the mindset just wasn't there to start Friday night. And I take blame for it. At the end of the day, I've got to have the guys ready, and we didn't compete at the level we need to. Whether it's home or away, you got to step on the floor and compete every night. When you're taking blows instead of handing them out, that's what happens when you play a really talented team in McNeese. And we were never able to flip the script.
Just from the tip on, we were never able to gain any momentum and execute that what we were trying to do. So McNeese played a really good game, and then we helped him out, which led to such a discrepancy in the score. So for our guys to come back and just compete for 40 minutes, at a lot better, attention to detail, just an urgency about them, what was big. And we got to carry that over and do that every night, whether we win or lose. When we put on the film, the urgency and the intention to do what we're trying to do has to be there.
Trying to shake that one out, looking at numbers, Coach, one thing that still stood out was that no matter how it went in the McNeese game, you still had the number two team in the Southland Conference for turning over opponents. You just played the number one team, and the Monday night game at Southeastern was against the number three team in the conference at turning people over. Y'all still play good defense.
Yeah, well, we're not creating the turnovers like we need to. That's something we're talking about as a staff right now. I want to give Southeastern credit. I thought we did have good ball pressure, and we put them in a couple spots, and we just they really took care of the basketball. So it's going to be big for us to continue. There's so many games in this conference slate. We got to continue to put pressure defensively, and then take advantage of nights when teams don't take care of the basketball, giving us extra possession and extra opportunities. When we did get turnovers and live ball turnovers, we're really good at converting on the other end. And even though there was very few turnovers, I think we converted all but one of the turnovers that we had out in the live ball turnovers, convert them into points. And so because we're have some a group that scores well in transition, we've got to put ourselves in that position as much as we can.
Very well. Coach, winning on the road, as you said, as tough as it can be. You get to turn around after this A&M game this weekend, and it's nothing but conference games the rest of the way, and your first two are going to be at home.
Yeah, it's great to be back home. Our schedule is balanced now. Going on the road, we actually start the first two games of conference on the road like we just did, and we end the last two games of conference on the road. So we're gonna have a lot of home opportunities here in the middle of this schedule, and we got to take advantage of those. Again, we want to steal them on the road, but we got to protect our home floor. And it starts with, maybe, at least a top two or three team for sure in our league with SFA, who's got some really explosive guards and just a really talented team, well coached. So it's going to test us. We just got to find a way, however it works out, to win our home games. That puts us in the best position to, look up at the end of the year in this long, long season of conference and, look towards the top.
Coach, what's the break going to be like for everybody? It won't be a long one, basically from the 22nd until whenever you tell them to get back after Christmas.
Yeah, we'll give them as much time as we can. They'll go home the night of the 21st after the game. Some guys flying back that night or first thing in the morning, and then we'll report back on the 26th. So, talk to a lot of coaches. Everyone I've spoken to vehemently agrees that you do not bring your guys back on Christmas. I don't want guys waking up celebrating and spending time with their family, worrying about how they're going to catch a flight on Christmas Day. So, everyone's going to spend Christmas at home with their families, and then get right back to work, first flight out on the 26th.
Okay, well, that sounds like the good plan, and we'll let them follow it. Anything else you want to offer before heading out on this one?
No, one more non-conference game. We're sitting above 500, and finishing at worst 500 for the non-conference with the schedule we played. Just really excited about our guys handling the adversity and the challenge of the schedule we put them through, and then finding a way to win, all the games against teams at our level. Obviously McNeese is our level, but when you're talking about non-conference and just the opponents and the structure of the roster with NIL and everything, really, really good job to handle the business that we needed to handle. We didn't steal any yet. We got one more opportunity to go kind of upset somebody and steal something on Sunday that we're looking forward to trying to do.
All right, coach. Well, best of luck on that. Can't wait to see him down there. As you said, it's going to be a busy weekend in College Station, America, for sure.
Yeah.
But I found one that wasn't too far away. All
Perfect.
right, man. Lines up, everybody. It's
Go
our
Lions.
holiday edition. We still got a little bit before Christmas to go. Be right back after this. Welcome back, folks. Some more Inside Lion Athletics. We've got men's basketball out of the way. Women were on the floor having practice. We've got head coach Valerie King joining us now. Cora Horvath is going to come afterwards, too. Coach, you've had kind of a wild couple of days of the last two basketball games. A tough one down in Lake Charles. And then you came home, had another Education Day dub. Lion women, Lions don't lose on Education Day, do they?
We haven't. It's been a good day for us.
Talk a little bit about the turnaround because the caliber of play by your squad was probably different one day to the next.
Yeah, I mean, obviously we knew Saturday and Sunday were super important, especially after, kind of what happened down at McNeese Friday night. We weren't at our best, obviously, turned the ball over 29 times and we just weren't very good on either end of the floor. So we knew we had to have a short memory, quick turnaround and get ready to get prepared for Texas Southern. So, we got back here, we went straight to the film room. We watched film. We started prepping for Texas Southern. And we didn't shy away from talking about McNeese. Obviously that's going to help us in the long run. So, we had two really good prep days, Saturday, Sunday, and we were in the right mindset and we were ready to go early Monday morning.
Very good. Coach, not to harp on the McNeese thing, but I remember it might have even been in our pregame visit talking about how you just don't want McNeese to get out there and, they want to score inside the first 7 seconds. I think they did it in five. And they did
Yeah.
some of the things that you did not want them to do. It's just snowballed from there.
Yeah, I mean, they were really efficient and they're a really good basketball team. I think, the first probably 75 seconds hurt us. It was a 7-0 run. We had to call a quick timeout, make sure we regrouped. After the 7-0 run, the first half was pretty even. First 3, 4, 5 minutes of the third quarter, we were still okay. I mean, we were turning the ball over, which, we've really got to get a handle on that. But there until the third quarter, when I think we turned it over five straight times. It was, we had it within reach. We had got it to five or six at one point in the third quarter. And, I mean, we fought our way back, but we can't continue to put ourselves in that position.
Well, if you're going to learn that lesson the hard way, getting it out of the way early is a good thing, right?
Yeah, that's
You
right.
can always poke back at that or point back at that one. Coach, you did get them flipped around, and tell us a little bit about the Monday morning game, how that went.
Yeah, Monday, I think we were much more settled down, and kind of back to what we do. We had a quick start. We were just doing what we do. We were sharing the ball. We were connected on both ends of the floor. And I think you can tell a huge difference when we're connected, and then when we're kind of getting our heads and kind of do stuff that we don't normally do.
Got some nice scoring punch from two of your players, Cora Horvath, one of them. And she's had some struggles this season shooting, but I think this is two out of the last three games where she definitely did not.
Yeah, Cora was really good. She works her butt off. Like, those shots are going to fall at some point. She's just got to, take the ones that are there, take the good ones, and they'll be there for her. But we had quite a few kids step up on Monday. Jay Unti off the bench gave us really good minutes, especially in the first half there. She was not just offensively, but she was, really good in our press, and then just in our half court defense. So, we're looking for that from her, and to be able to, get her more minutes and the rotation at the guard spot. So really happy to see her step up. Amaya really took control of the game there in the second half when they cut it to seven. She knew what we wanted to do. We wanted to get it inside to Tiani, and she was able to make that happen. And then obviously T had a big game for us. We were able to throw it inside. She worked her butt off, getting great position. And like I said, Amaya was able to get it in there. She was able to score.
Coach, some of your new players, you may not have had time yet in this young season that's now what, 12 games old, to see a player rebound after not having an especially good game.
Yeah, I mean, I think it's trial and error, especially when it's a new kid, a young kid, whoever it is. So it's, I think it's good that, we focus on preparation and process and, each day is new and you got to attack that day, and try not to live in the past. Yeah, I mean, we're not going to be great every single day, but, I don't think we let McNeese hang over our heads.
No, clearly not. And you're gonna have all of that to remember when you come up back from Christmas and you have your first two conference games. Not only you get Leonard Bishop and SFA's Lady Jacks, but then you turn around and have Lamar right behind them. That's gonna be two big games right off the bat.
Yeah, conference started, like that with McNeese and then SFA and Lamar. So, but you know what? Our kids are excited. I think getting a little break at Christmas and then getting back regrouping, that they're hungry. And obviously, most of them know the grind of the conference season, but we'll see two different styles against SFA and Lamar within a 72-hour period. So, we'll have to have some good days of prep, ready for zone offense, and then back to a lot of man stuff against Lamar. So,
Okay. Well, very good, Coach. What are the plans around the King household for a few days?
we're gonna go to Ohio for a few days, and just hang out. So that'll be fun.
Have your children, have they met your pigs yet, or your family's pigs back home?
We don't have pigs anymore, Charlie.
Oh, no, they're not pig farming anymore?
No,
Well,
not anymore.
it'd be kind of hard to carry the tradition on in a suburban neighborhood, wouldn't it?
Yeah,
All right.
it'd be
Well,
hard.
Merry Christmas to y'all. Safe travels, of
You too.
course. And we look forward to y'all getting back, and it'll be basketball season again.
It is. Yeah, never ends. Thanks, Charlie.
All right. Lines up, everybody. Coach Valerie King, we've got Cora Horvath coming up right next. Don't go away. Hey, everybody, welcome back. A little bit more Inside Lion Athletics before we break for the holidays. Joining us now, Cora Horvath, one of the two Horvath sisters, twins, I'm telling you, that have made their way onto the Lion roster. Cora's been here. This is her junior year, three seasons. Her sister came and joined her last year after a little bit of time apart out at UNC Greensboro. But they're both Lions last year. They're both Lions now. And Cora, how have we waited so long to have you on the show?
I actually don't know. I mean, I was always ready.
Okay, well, that's good. See, you always have to be ready because you never know when you get the call.
Yeah.
Hey, talk about the weekend's games. Had a tough one on the road down in Lake Charles, but you rebounded pretty well Monday morning.
Yeah, I feel like, we just didn't have any energy against McNeese. We started off really bad, didn't get into the game really well. And we just didn't find our flow in the game, I feel like. And last game, I feel like we started off really well with good energy. We were really hyped. We played for each other and not one on one, And I feel like that was really the big difference, trying to play for the team. The team has always has to be the focus for us.
You get to start preparing for the next team as soon as the buzzer sounds almost, but that had to be one long bus trip back to Commerce from Lake Charles.
I mean, it was, it's always tough losing. It's never nice to lose against somebody, but we just gotta bounce back. The other team's not gonna wait for us. So we gotta be ready, stay hungry. try to win the next game, you know?
That's right. Well, there's 20 of them left. So there's time to get things just the way you want them. Talk about playing with your sister a little bit. How much extra sense do the two of you have being on the floor at the same time after how many years playing together?
Well, we're 21 now, so we started playing basketball when we were 6, so it's like 15 years now, I think. And we've always played together except for 1 year now. And you know, I feel like I always know what she's gonna do, and I feel like she always knows what I'm gonna do. Just exciting to have that extra connection, 'cause I know what she's capable of. She knows what I'm capable of, and it's just exciting to play with your twin sister.
And you got a little extra time playing with her over the summer, did you not? Playing on the Austrian national team?
I did, you know, but I play for the Austrian national team and she plays for the German national team. So in the summer we actually never play together almost, 'cause she always plays for another national team. But it's fun.
Okay.
Sometimes I see her on the in on the 3-on-3 teams. But we've never played each other actually, so
Wow, there
no.
you go. Boy, that'd be a tough one, wouldn't it?
But it would be so much fun to play against her one time.
So, what's a European basketball summer like? You talk
Well,
about the different, three-on-three tourneys and such.
yeah, you know, it's different every summer. I feel like 'cause sometimes you play three on three, sometimes you just play 5-on-5. It actually depends on the coaches what they tell you, what they want you to do. If they want you to play 3-on-3, they want you to play 5-on-5. You know, I actually prefer to play 5-on-5, but I sometimes play 3-on-3 too, but I would rather prefer to play 5-on-5. That's my sport. That's what I feel like doing.
3-on-3 is a very different basketball game.
It's so different, you know. You have a coach, but during the game, the coach can't coach you. They can he can't he or she can't say anything. That's so much different. You have to rely on each other as a team. Then also music is playing like all the time. It's so fast. Like you wouldn't think that 3-on-3 is so exhausting, but it's such a fast game and it's so exhausting. Like your stamina needs to be really good for 3-on-3.
So, that makes me remember playing rugby. And in the off season, they would play 7-a-side instead of 15. And that 7-a-side was an awful lot of running. So it keeps you fit for the next season.
It definitely does.
Hey, you're a little bit far from home. What are you and your sister going to do over the Christmas break?
Because we have such a short break, we're actually not gonna go home, which is kind of sad. But I'm also excited because we are going to Punta Cana for 6 days, and
Oh.
we're going on the beach, gonna lay there, gonna tan, and have some fun in Punta Cana.
A little bit of sunshine never hurt anybody. And to get it this time of year is probably something else. How much snow do they have back home? Is it a wet, wintry kind of place?
I feel like this winter day actually we don't have that much snow. It's just really cold. But this time we don't have too much snow.
All right. Well, there will be none in Punta Cana. I can trust
No.
you. All right. So, what do you think? You've been with this team from the get-go with Coach Valerie. How are things progressing along this year? What do you think?
I think we have a really good team this year. I think we have I have high hopes for this team, you know. I feel like we just gotta be more consistent. Consistency is the key, you know, playing for each other, because I feel like we have had a lot of up and downs. I mean, I can talk for myself. I've had a lot of good games, but I've also had bad games, such as the game in McNeese. I feel like we just gotta be more consistent, and I feel like if we be more consistent, we can be a really good team and we could be really good.
How much do you use German on the court? Especially when it's talking to other players or maybe an official.
Well, every time I play with Alba or Nina, I talk with them in German, you know. I always say something, and I always try to give them feedback in German because no one understands us, you know. So
Right.
I feel like that's a good thing. And nobody's gonna understand me. So yeah.
Hey, if you get away with it, you got away with it. They can't come
Right?
back and retroactively
Yeah.
tee you up, can they?
Well, they can.
What do you find different about basketball in America versus basketball in Europe?
Oh, good question. I would say basketball in Europe is more like not as much one-on-one, but more like pass the ball, cut, like set a screen, more like team play versus in America. I would say everybody's more athletic. Like we have, you guys have better players by themselves if they play like on one-on-one because you guys are so fast, jumps high. But in Europe, it's more like you gotta pass the ball, you gotta go cut, set the screen, you know? I feel like that's the main difference, I would say.
Okay. Have you taught any of your teammates how to do the Euro step and make it
Not
work for them?
yet. Not yet.
Not yet. What's
No.
the key to that? Long legs?
I would say so, yeah. Gotta do that. James Harden, you know?
Maybe a little bit easier for a forward or a post player than us guards. All right, so what would your sister say about what I want you to guess what she'd say about your game, and then I want you to tell us about her game, and then we'll flip the script when she comes on.
Okay, so what she would say about my game, I think she would say that if I'm not in my head too much, I'm a good shooter. I'm a good defender and I can read the game really well.
Okay.
And I would say about her game, I think she's one of the smartest players I've ever played with. She's definitely the best backdoor cutter that I've ever played with. She always knows when to cut, she always knows how to get in there. And she's a really good defender too, because she has such long arms, like, good defender.
Okay. Well, we'll find out if it worked out both ways. Twins get y'all share everything though, right?
Thanks.
All right. Well, listen, Merry Christmas to you. To
Yeah.
you and your sister, safe travels and
Thanks.
have fun in Mexico, but come back safely. And we'll
Thanks.
see you when it's time to get ready for those conference games, SFA and then Lamar.
True.
All right. Good enough. Cora Horvath. Here with us today. Thanks so much. We'll see you after the holiday.
Thanks.
Lines up, everybody. That's going to do it for another edition of Inside Lion Athletics. We'll see you after Christmas. Merry Christmas to you all and safe travels.